This week's episode of The Complete Guide to Everything is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download of your choice and a free 30-day trial by going to tcgte.com/audible. They have over 100,000 audiobooks to choose from, so you should choose a winner and listen to it, and then you'll be smarter and more attractive to the opposite sex. tcgte.com/audible.
Hello and welcome to Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
I'm Tim.
How are you this week, Tim?
Tom, I gotta tell you, I'm a little upset. I'm a little sad.
Why so?
As you know, I watch Jeopardy.
they canceled Jeopardy?
No. Jeopardy is one of my favorite television shows, and the best thing about it is you get to choose who you want to win every time.
All right,
and there was a lady on
Jeopardy.
I mean,
that's not part of the show. They don't say in the beginning, like, and now choose who you would like to win.
It's implicit in the form, Tom,
uh-huh,
that they have three contestants and that you're gonna want to choose a horse in that race, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like if you're watching a sporting event, but every week or every day you get to pick a new favorite team.
Right. But sometimes you want, it's like your team in the playoffs, right? It's like, mm-hmm, every year you choose, all right, here are the teams in the playoffs.
But I want to win the Tournament of Champions.
This is, I want the Tigers to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you follow, and then
even if you aren't a Tigers fan.
Right. Or if you're like a Mets fan, but the Mets aren't in it. So you're like, all right, I want to see the Tigers, right? And this lady was on, and here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see her go on for episodes. She seemed like a really nice lady.
Okay.
And if you win on Jeopardy, you come back the next day, and as we saw, 74-time champion Ken Jennings,
mm-hmm,
you could be on there for months at a time, right?
Yeah.
If you just keep winning. And if nobody saw Jeopardy this week and you don't want it to be spoiled, I'm sorry, there's a Jeopardy spoiler alert here.
I think you're the only person I've ever encountered that DVRs Jeopardy.
She seems like a really nice lady, Tom.
Okay.
I forget her name, but Alex is about it. I'm going to play a clip on the show. And the thing is, I wanted to see, because every day, Alex has to come over and interview that person, and they need an anecdote.
Uh-huh.
And then Alex is kind of like, Alex Trebek, I'm talking about, is a little arrogant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or he's just like standoffish,
Canadian,
and weird. Yeah. So anyway, this is the lady's first time on the show, right? This is the first game. And this is their
usually your most interesting anecdote you get off the top, because you might not have another chance.
And keep in mind, I think this lady, she seemed very kind. She seemed very smart. She seemed a little nervous to be there, which is always endearing.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the exchange the contestant interview.
Heard this.
No. All right. So Alex walks over to the podium.
Okay. Eastwood has a romantic boyfriend. I want to hear about that very special gift he arranged for you.
Yeah, he gave me a remote starter for my car so I could warm it up in the winter without leaving the house.
How far away were you with this remote?
Maybe about 10 feet, but it gets pretty cold in Denver sometimes in the winter.
I'm sure it does. Are you two still together?
No.
Oh. Do you still have the remote starter?
I did until I sold my car a couple years ago.
Okay. Nate Mull.
That was her anecdote that she chose to go with.
That her ex-boyfriend wasn't romantic?
Not even that her ex-boyfriend wasn't
romantic. That's the angle that Alex took.
Yeah, but the thing was, it was that was her story.
Mm-hmm.
Was somebody bought me a remote starter for my car years ago. She doesn't even have that boyfriend anymore or that car several years ago. Like, they're filling out the application to go on Jeopardy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're partially basing it on your personality, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, and I've got this confirmation from some former Jeopardy contestants that you submit two, and Alex chooses the one that he likes better.
Oh, okay.
Two anecdotes.
Mm.
So she sat there on a form, and they're like, tell us a funny story about you.
And this is during the testing process, not after you've been picked?
I think so.
Okay.
That I don't know.
Because that kind of sucks. Like, you're nervous about taking the test. The last thing you want to do is be like, oh, interesting anecdote about me.
Well, you got to come in and be the whole package, Tom. Yeah. That's all that tells me.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come in and wow them on every front with your intelligence, with your wit, mm-hmm. with your charm. You need to be running on, all cylinders need to be firing here,
okay.
Tom.
Okay.
So she's sitting there filling out a form. Interesting thing about me. Well, 8 years ago, I was dating a guy that I'm no longer dating, and I was driving a car that I no longer drive, and I got a remote starter from a car, which probably, 45% of all car owners have? And Alex is like, what is this thing? Because Alex Trebek hasn't operated his own vehicle in years.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter how far away the car is, because, you know, he asked 10 feet away. It doesn't matter because that 10 feet is outside.
Yeah. And Alex, you out-of-touch jerk.
That's still in Denver in the winter, I'd imagine. I've never been to Denver in the winter. But to get all bundled up, go out there, turn your car on, give it, 15 minutes to warm up?
Right.
That is a pain in the ass. When you could be in your PJs,
you could be
having a coffee.
Yeah,
and
you could be scrambling the eggs still and be, oh, well, let me
start warming this thing up. I know people with remote starters, Tim.
I have one myself, Tom.
Oh, well, la-dee-da.
I don't use it
well,
in the city because I'm afraid, and I usually have to park several blocks away from my home. But it's here's the thing. On all fronts.
Have you tested how far away you can do it?
I haven't.
Oh, what are you doing? The first thing I'd do is be like, let me see how far away
well,
I can set my car.
Well, here's the thing. If it's so far away that I can't see it, I don't know if it's turned on, so I don't have confidence in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also,
well, you go check it
I
out.
Forget I do things sometimes. And like, I bet I could leave my car running all day. And yeah. Just be like, oh, crap, I turned like I was going to go to the grocery store, and then I decided not to. So anyway, Tom, the combination of this woman, that could not have been her most interesting anecdote.
Well, it's one of two.
Right? And then coupled with Alex Trebek not really understanding. He was like Ronald Reagan or George Bush with the scanners.
The supermarket scanner,
Wow, look at that. He's like that. And it's like, it's 2013. Learn about remote starters on cars. How long have you lived in Burbank that you don't need that stuff?
You know what, Tim?
You're from Canada, Alex Trebek. Jesus, did you forget your roots? It gets cold and you got to warm up the car sometimes.
Tim, I'm going to play Alex Trebek's advocate here.
Oh, classic.
How do you know that the other anecdote she submitted wasn't impossibly boring? Like, way more, way worse.
No, that's fine.
And he was like, you know, Jesus, I got to, you know, I got to pick the lesser of two evils here.
Right.
I gotta, you know, at least play dumb and pretend like I don't really know what this is so I have something to talk about. Because what else was he going to ask?
Well, here's the thing. She won that day, Tom.
Yeah.
And so she came back the next day.
Okay.
And I was like, this is going to be great. I hope this goes on for years.
Just like, hear about this woman's boring life.
No, not even that her life is boring. Because
it must be boring if that's the most interesting thing she has to say.
I don't think that is. I think she might have gotten flustered. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about this woman because she seemed very nice and I was rooting for her. She seemed like a genuinely
She seemed fine.
Good person.
She didn't seem nervous in that.
She seemed a little nervous. Like she had this tic where like, she wasn't smiling at all. Mm. And then when she won, she had a big smile. And it's like, oh, because I was like, lady, loosen up a little. You never smile.
She was nervous.
This is one of these ladies that never smiles. No, she was just nervous. And that's endearing. That's an endearing quality on Jeopardy. I don't like these braggadocious know-it-alls that come on. It's like, I know all about every empire and all. I know the differences between the Greek and the Roman gods. It's like, I don't give a shit about any of that. I want somebody that I can relate to. And I get nervous all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she won, and I was like, oh, I hope she wins forever because she seems like a nice lady, and I'd like her to have a lot of, like, I hope she spins this into a career, and also I'd love to see this awkwardness between her and Trebek every day. So the next day she comes on, you know what her anecdote was?
Now? What was it?
In 1981, she ate a sandwich.
No, that's not. No, you're making fun.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I was gonna say that woman looks like she was in her maybe like mid late 30s.
Yeah, she. Here's the thing.
That's also the kind of like plain looking woman that could be 20 years old.
Oh yeah, she didn't have a flair to her. But here's the thing. She looked nice, and here's the, you can't root against her.
Mm-hmm.
So everything would be, every day would be another cringe-inducing interaction between her and Alex Trebek as he fumbled to like find something to
some maybe common ground.
Maybe as she got a little more comfortable there, you know, by the end, like Ken Jennings when he was on for like 74 games in a row.
Yeah, he was out just of smoking anecdotes.
A cigarette. Like Alex would come over and he'd be like, "So, Ken," he'd be like, "We don't need to do this today, do we?"
Talk to these idiots I'm about to ruin.
Exactly. And he turned into a badass because he'd be smoking a cigarette and he'd put it out right out in the palm of his hand.
I don't think any of that's true.
And he'd blow smoke rings right into Alex Trebek's face when he tried to talk to him. And he'd be like, "Now, Ken," he'd be like, "You can't tell me what to do, old man.
I own this place."
Yeah.
"I'm making more than you are at this point."
Yeah, I'll be dancing on your grave one day, Trebek.
Tim, I don't like the progress we've made here that you now have the ability to play Jeopardy clues on this I set a dangerous precedent when I showed you how to plug your iPad into the board.
Yeah,
I didn't know that you would have episodes of Jeopardy saved on your iPad.
You thought wrong, my friend. How did you not know that?
To be fair, I've feel like I've created a monster here. And now the Pandora's box is open. You can,
Tom. I could find some hilarious soundboards too, Tom. You don't see the potential this has.
Well, I don't think that's very.
I could be playing Alex Trebek. "That is correct," or the answer, "A daily double,"
and it'll sound like he's here in the room with us.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be like we have a third host, and it's Alex Trebek, host of TV's Jeopardy.
All right, Tim, enough about Jeopardy, for goodness sake.
Can be sure to listen to my other podcast, Jeopardy Roundup.
Are there's got to be Jeopardy podcasts, right?
Probably. I'd never thought of that.
How come you don't do a Jeopardy podcast about that week's Jeopardy?
I should, right?
Yeah.
That's a great idea, right?
What do you
see what I'm doing here, Tom?
Yeah. All right. We get it.
I can plug things in here. You know what I mean? Double A. MCO, you know what I mean? AMCO.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tom, I had beans for lunch. Yep, see that?
It made you burp. That's not the way beans even work. So now you've got, what, a sound effects board up?
Oh, no, a dinosaur got in the room, Tom. This is going to be hilarious. Oh, man. What was that, a pretty lady? Tom, try to control yourself, though, now that a lady walked in the room. Tom, seriously, please, I'm begging you. Tom, please, sorry.
All right. Yeah. Enough's enough. We all get it. You've got your iPad plugged right into the soundboard. We had to listen to Jeopardy, and now we have to listen to sound effects.
Oh, I can't believe you're doing this from your bathroom, Tom.
Uh-huh.
It's, what? From your bathroom?
All right.
Okay. Phew.
All right. So you shouldn't do a Jeopardy podcast because that'd be boring. Nobody would want to listen to it. But it would solve problems for me. I wouldn't have to listen to you yammer on about Jeopardy all week. But this week's episode's not about Jeopardy, is it?
No, it's not, Tom.
It's about that app. You just put your iPad down for a second. Well, you picked it up again, which I don't like. But that looks like the worst app I've ever seen. That looks like an app made for kindergartners by a kindergartner.
Yeah, well, it doesn't work anymore. So,
good.
So you got your way.
Great. That's what happens.
I was really hoping it would have the lady saying, "You are the weakest link, goodbye." Mm-hmm. And then I could play that then.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. Oh, yeah. This just stopped working.
Great.
All right. This is probably for the best.
Yep. It's definitely for the best.
I'm actually really going to turn that off now.
We're talking about binge watching this week.
Why are we doing that, Tom?
Because, Tim, the internet is all a Twitter about the rest of development.
No. Twitter is all a buzz.
Twitter's all an internet.
Twitter. You can hear the tweets a mile away. You know that phrase, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
I heard these tweets, six ways to Sunday, Susie.
Well, Sunday at midnight or midnight Saturday?
Yeah,
Sunday.
All right, Arrested Development is this TV show that everybody pretends to like.
Not that everybody pretends to like.
Wouldn't it be weird if I was one of those guys?
that just said, oh, everybody thinks that they like it. They pretend.
Yeah.
Nobody actually gets it.
I hate those people.
But it's a big deal because the show was canceled, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And now Netflix has the ability to make their own TV shows. They realized this this year. They were like, hey, we can make TV shows and put them on our thing, Netflix.
Yeah, that's how people watch TV nowadays. Why don't we just give them things?
So they decided to go ahead and make more. Well, it makes a lot of sense because they've had Arrested Development on Netflix, and they have all the numbers, and they can see, holy moly, a lot of people watch this show now on our service Netflix. What if we made more episodes? They'd watch those too.
Right. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big deal made out of they're releasing them all on the same day. How many articles have you read about this? Just mm-hmm. this phenomenon, like not even on blogs and stuff, but in like legitimate, like, oh, binge watching is the way that people consume things now. Mm-hmm.
Well, they did it with House of Cards. That was their first big series.
Lamborghinis, BMWs, all living under the same roof, right?
House of Cards. Cards with a D.
Oh.
I know I said House of Cars because I kind of mumbled.
Yeah. No, I thought it was an entirely different show.
No, House of Cards.
I was actually quite excited about it.
It's a house that a bunch of cards live in.
How would an Audi interact with a Fiat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would that look like?
Right, well.
Now we'll never know.
We'll never.
Is that what that movie Cars was about?
Yep.
All the, like, what they need is like a real world of cars, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You should pitch this to Disney.
Oh, the IROC would come in and be like, you know.
Hey.
Yeah, spilling spaghetti sauce all over everything. And the Volvo would be like, clean that up so nobody slips. We gotta be safe around here.
All right, it was a good pitch, Tim. We should set up a meeting.
I think this is pretty good. You know,
The episodes write themselves. And all you need to do is just show, you don't even need to like film it. You can just show pictures of cars.
Right.
And then just do the audio behind it.
Some convertible. It's like, oh, I'm a 50-year-old man, but I still got it. Divorced. Are you 20-year-olds want to date me?
So it seems like a lot of the cars just kind of take on the character of their typical drivers.
Maybe if you want to be if you want to stereotype people,
yeah.
Tom.
Yeah.
I just think it's a magical world. This is all just coming from the top of my head.
So they did this with House of Cards. They put out all 12, 13 episodes at once because Netflix they have all again they have all the information because. All right, let's talk about Nielsen ratings for a minute.
They're bullshit, right?
They're such bullshit. You ever know anybody who had a Nielsen box?
No. And I tried to explain this to friends of mine who were in high school
mm-hmm.
and would still, every Monday night when Monday Night Raw came on, in all of their houses, there were four of them, and they turned on every TV in their house.
Oh.
Yeah. So that Monday Night Raw, the WWE show would get better ratings. And I tried to explain to them about Nielsen boxes, but they didn't want to have anything. And they also seemed to think that if you turned it up louder, that counted for more. I don't know.
Like
they
people
just,
would like it. They're like, oh, they must like it. Look at how loud they're listening to it.
They're going nuts over it. They're turning it all the way up. They can't get enough.
So for people who don't know what a Nielsen box is, because that's kind of going away a little bit.
Right.
Basically, it's how they would rate TV shows. They would give a bunch of families a different box to plug into their TV. And when it would watch what they were watching.
It would record what they were watching.
Right.
It wouldn't like watch.
It wouldn't watch them. Yeah, it didn't have a camera. The technology hadn't existed yet. And then I think they also had to rate whatever they were watching if they liked it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I would like to be a Nielsen family.
Yeah.
Or a member of I'd like to be the head of the household in a Nielsen family.
Right. And for a long time, you know, this is pre-internet, This is how they would have to do TV ratings, because there was, especially before cable, it was like, well, we're just going to put a signal out and we don't know who's picking the signal up. It's not a two-way street. They did the same thing with...
How do they know that all those people were watching I Love Lucy?
Because they had Nielsen boxes.
Where they were back then, too?
I think so. I think they've always had them.
I've long maintained that nobody actually liked I Love Lucy. And that everybody was watching it back then. I think that was just anecdotal. I think they were just like, oh, everyone I know who's an idiot and doesn't like funny things likes I Love Lucy.
Well, I think it was also different when there were only a few stations. They just knew, like, well, everybody's watching all this stuff all the time. Because, like, I Love Lucy, I don't know if that was up against anything.
It was the only thing on?
Yeah, I think if a show was popular or good, the other networks were like, well, I don't know, just put on the picture of the Indian head.
Right.
And that'll be fine.
We can't compete with Lucy.
Yeah.
Would people come into work and they'd know that they, like, around the water cooler the next day, that they'd watch I Love Lucy because, like, a silhouette of Lucille Ball would be, like, burned into their skin or something?
Oh, his old TVs, they put out a lot of light? Is that what you're saying?
Weren't they like, tremendously dangerous?
I don't think so.
They're like radiation and stuff?
No, I don't think so.
That's what the government wants you to think.
So they used to use these Nielsen boxes to do ratings. And, I mean, that's what hurt shows like Arrested Development, because...
Nobody watched it.
Yeah, nobody watched it, and you know,
it was a very small sample size. Yeah, it was a very small sample size, and
now they do a little bit more. Now they take into account like DVR and stuff like that. But even still, it's not as important as if people are watching it live.
Those Nielsen boxes, Tom, uh-huh. That didn't become a matter of public record, right?
What do you mean?
Like if the head of the Nielsen household snuck down in the middle of the night to watch some Cinemax.
Oh, no, they wouldn't put out the, you know, like personalized.
Oh, okay.
It was somewhat anonymous, but I think they knew like how old everybody in the household was.
Right.
Yeah, they
definitely do. I participated in one, I think when I was like 8 or something, we got this kind of junk mail thing.
Uh-huh.
That was like, you've been selected to be a, I think it was Arbitron. Was that the radio?
Yeah, yeah. Where you had to carry the box around with you all the time.
Oh, no,
right?
Then this was just something else.
Okay.
And
this might be a newer technology that they have now.
Right. This was probably like 1990, and it came with a little booklet,
mm-hmm.
that you record everything you listen to.
Oh.
On the radio, the station, mm-hmm. and the times that you listen to it. And of course, it was addressed to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, screw this. This is stupid. I don't want to do this. But they said they'd send you a $5 bill if you did it.
Wow.
So I did it.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you know, my mom would be dropping me off at school in the morning.
Mm.
And I'd be like, I wouldn't get out of the car until like I had my pencil out. And I was like, 7:38. To 7:44, 10:10 wins. And then, like, I think you had to write a little something about it. Like,
10:10 wins is just an AM news station.
Yeah, she was getting, like, the traffic or the weather, yeah, or something. And it was just a horrible, horrible burden. And by the end, you had to do it for 2 weeks for $5. And I took this thing so seriously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, as soon as I got home from school, I was like, I think I might have heard somebody in a car passing by. Is it illegal if I don't if I don't report it? Jimmy's mom drove me home from school today. I don't know if it was 95.5 BLJ or 101.1 CBS FM. Uh-huh. Like,
his oldies.
Am I gonna go to jail if I take this $5? Yeah, I knew his oldies. I didn't know which particular brand of oldies.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the $5?
And it was a crisp bill, Tom. It was the crispest bill I've ever laid my hands on. It was sweet. And
should have framed it.
I earned that $5, man.
Nice. No, they have things now where it's just like a box that's always listening.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go into, like, a supermarket and they're playing stuff, it will hear what's being played. It's for royalties and stuff like that, right? That's what they do it for?
Mm-hmm.
And ratings?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because radio, I think they still don't know how to get ratings for.
No, but that's all right, because nobody listens to it.
But my point was just going to be that nowadays with Netflix, they know everything. They know who you are. And exactly what you're watching, how much of it you're watching.
They know when you pause it. They know when you fast forward it. They know when you rewind it. They take all that into consideration.
Well, and the thing that was fascinating to me with House of Cards, that, you know, you would log into Netflix and they had a trailer for you to watch because that was a big thing they were promoting. That did you know about this? They had 10 different versions of that trailer that they would show you depending on what other shows and movies you watched.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you watched a bunch of comedies, it was a more comedic trailer that they thought would like appeal to your sensibilities.
See, this seems like a bad idea to me.
But I think it was vague. It wasn't like, you know, they play a trailer like, bum, 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 like Francis Underwood's having a bad day.
That's all right. That's fine. As long as it only, you know, plays into the marketing aspect of it.
Yeah.
As soon as they start, because like, as I understand it, they're just giving good people like David Fincher and who wrote House of Cards? Oh, it's based on something.
It was based on a British series.
But like Mitch Hurwitz, and they apparently gave a lot of money to Stevie Van Zandt for some reason. didn't seem to work out all that well.
Stevie.
You never give him a lot of money. No. Come on, man. He'll blow it at the strip club. You know this. but for the time being, they were hands off. They're just like, you're smart. You're smart and talented. Make us something good that we can put.
Right, Kevin Spacey and David Fincher. You guys want to make something for us? Great. Here's money. Do it.
It'll get dangerous when they're like, "Oh, okay. Well, we see that we need to target this demographic."
3 minutes in, there needs to be a joke.
Right, and as soon as they're like, watching. "No, guess what? Science. We know this stuff now." Yeah. And I see it going that way because they could be like, or like, hey, Mitch Hurwitz, here's the parts of Arrested Development that were most rewound and the episodes that were most...
So put those in.
So, yeah, these two characters have to interact more. And it's like, no, you can't do stuff like that. You just have to follow your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when the powers that be here...
Mm-hmm. For The Complete Guide to Everything.
The Complete Guide to Everything. They were just like, we want an adorable little child on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
and everybody remembers how that went.
That child was a demon seed, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. He was always,
you give me a hot foot three times in one episode, Tom. He almost burnt down this whole studio.
Well, and can you explain what a hot foot is for people that don't remember those episodes?
He lit my shoe on fire while I was sitting here.
He put a matchbook in your shoe.
Yeah.
In between the sole of your shoe and the shoe.
It was like a major league dugout in 1986 over here.
And
hot foots galore.
And he would always do it when the executive here wasn't looking.
Right.
Whenever he was in, this kid was licking a lollipop, acting all innocent.
No, in a sailor suit.
In a sailor suit.
Yeah, he was in a sailor suit licking a lollipop.
Yeah, it's adorable.
Yeah. And I think part of it was the kid had no legal guardian. I think that belonged to the corporation.
Was a ward of the corporation, of the Complete Guide to Everything corporation.
Yeah, and you don't want to be raised by a corporation, man.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the CEO, he clocks out at the end of the day. Where did that kid sleep?
Oh, I don't know.
Benny,
the...
And the corporate guys, they'd come and be like, oh, isn't he great? So one day he'd be in a sailor suit, one day he'd have a beanie with a propeller on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that propeller was sharp.
Mm-hmm.
He could cut things with that. But
it was motorized. It was one of those motorized ones.
It sliced off the tip of my thumb.
I think he slept in the lobby of the building here.
That's no way for a major podcast star. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really contribute anything of substance to the show.
No, no. He wasn't mic'd or anything.
Yeah, we couldn't get him to talk into the mic. We had a whole mic set up. They bought a whole new mic, the whole system for him.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't even talk into it.
Yeah, and eventually he just aged out of the system, and they threw him out. Who knows what he's up to now.
Didn't he stab your wife?
He stabbed my wife a few times, yeah.
Jesus.
She was just trying to, you know, give him like a nice hot meal.
Yeah, she was trying to take him in and care for him, but you can't get too close to somebody like that.
No, and it wasn't a knife or anything. It was just like a pencil. It was like a little golf pencil, so she didn't get too hurt, but...
Thank God.
Yeah, but still, you know, that's why we can't have golf pencils here anymore.
Which is such an inconvenience. That's the only thing that I can comfortably write with.
Well, and how are we supposed to keep score without those?
Yeah, no, the score keeping is completely broken down since Benny was
there. It's very inaccurate, which I think we should probably have disclosed earlier that the score keeping on this show is nothing like it used to be.
No, and I apologize for it, but look, don't blame us. Blame the network execs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Telling us what we got to do. I think Benji died. I think I read that he died.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, no, he's taken away and then just a spiral. Can I talk about something for a second?
Little bastard.
Yeah. Amanda Bynes.
Uh-huh.
Can we all stop talking about Amanda Bynes?
I haven't been talking about her at all.
The internet's talking about her.
Well, I'm not the internet. I've had to explain that to you a million times.
I understand when it's somebody like Britney Spears or Lindsay Lohan having a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's still despicable to be like harping on it in a very excited fashion. No, I'm enthusiastic that this woman is self-destructing before our very eyes. But Amanda Bynes, yeah, was just some girl who was on Nickelodeon, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Do we all have to rejoice? Like, oh, she's getting her comeuppance. No, she has a substance abuse problem and emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
Can we stop being like, check out her mugshot, it's crazy. Yeah, because she's going through tough times. Like, let's not all laugh at her. It's not like she's also simultaneously like, buy my perfume or watch my garbage reality show. No, none of that. She's just a tragic case. Mm-hmm. Let's stop laughing at her because she was on TV when she was a child.
Yeah, I don't really know who she is. I've kind of ignored all that stuff.
I think she was on that show All That.
Yeah.
But I see people posting on Facebook like, oh, crap, you won't believe what she's doing, what she's saying on Twitter. She needs help. Stop it. Stop laughing at her. Laugh at your family members when they're fucking going through tough times.
Do you do that?
I will now.
Yeah, you're keeping a list.
It might have sounded like Amanda Bynes was a family member of mine, by the way I phrased that. Right. She's not. I've never met never met the woman.
Well, he probably have family members he ever met. That's can't true. Discount it. She
look,
might
look, I can't say with 100% certainty that she's not a relative of mine.
Yeah. There's been no blood test done.
Yeah. But let's go easy on her. She's a kid.
She's not a kid anymore.
She's in her 20s. That's a kid. I'm in my 30s, so I'm like, oh, this is just a kid. Uh-huh. I have all the wisdom to deign who should be mocked and shouldn't be mocked based on their age because I've lived it.
Well, it's probably that kind of attitude is what made Benny such a bad kid, such a tough kid to deal with, Tim. You resented that attitude.
I did. I'm sorry.
He resented that attitude.
Oh. I resented his attitude.
Wow.
That was the one kid. Like we could, I didn't mind if anything bad happened to him. He brought it on himself. He's a troublemaker.
Tim, this week the show is brought to everyone, not just you, by Audible. People can get a free audiobook, any book that they want. And a 30-day trial by going to tcgte.com/audible. It's on us. You're paying for it.
And I'm paying for
you're
it.
Paying
I'll
for
pay
it.
For everything.
Well, not everything, just one. but they also said we should recommend a book to everybody in case they don't know what book to get.
Tom, and since you are
Paradox of
notoriously
choice.
Anti-book, anti-learning, anti-knowledge, it again falls to me.
Uh-huh.
To recommend a book. This is a book that I enjoyed immensely.
Okay.
And it relates to this episode, Tom.
Perfect.
About the TV business.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Top of the Rock, Inside the Rise and Fall of Must-See TV. Tom, it's a history of NBC when NBC was awesome. So it's got a chapter.
It's like the 90s?
Yeah. So it's like you learn all about Seinfeld, how it was made and how everything happened there. You learn about Friends. You learn about ER. You learn about all these shows and how they came to be. Cheers, Frasier, all this stuff. The Cosby Show. It's amazing. It's great. Can't get enough of it.
All right. What's the name of it again?
Top of the Rock. Inside the Rise and Fall of Must-See TV.
And people can get that for free I understand if they go to tcgt.com/audible, that book or any other book.
Yeah.
But that's the one you recommend.
But you should probably just get this one because it'd be easiest.
All
right. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
So binge watching, Tim. Have you binge?
Binge Washington.
I'm here with Binge Washington. Binge watching. Have you binge watched anything recently?
I don't think so. No. I want to go back and watch every episode of All My Children.
That's gonna take you forever, Tim.
I tried to start binge watching something, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not proud of it, but I was going in with an open mind.
All right. What was it?
Because I saw the ads for this movie, the Star Trek movie.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this seems interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't want to just go, I won't know the, and I hear, oh, there's all these subtle nods and clever allusions to stuff that happened in the past, right, mm-hmm. on the show. I was like, well, if I'm going to see this movie, I'm going to see the hell out of this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see this movie the right way, having seen the entire backstory.
Are you going to watch every episode of Star Trek?
Of every episode of every series of Star Trek.
Because they had all the,
movie.
They had like the Next Generation and then like Deep Space Nine.
They had, which was the one with Scott Bakula?
It was, I think, Enterprise right. was that one was
There was
called.
Another one too, right? Voyager.
Yeah, Voyager. That had a lady captain.
Yeah, and then they had like, what, six movies before these other movies?
No, they had more, I think, because they had like the regular ones, and then they had the Next Generation. They started making a bunch of those. I saw one of the Next Generation movies in the theaters. I was never a Star Trek guy.
Right.
But, you know, like when you're a teenager and you'll just go to the movie theater because there's movies out.
Mm-hmm.
And they
and you're not allowed in bars.
Right.
Right.
And they had marketed these Star Trek movies at, you know, like big popcorn movies. I was like, oh, I'll go see one of these Star Trek movies. And I went with, and I'm not trying to pass judgment. I'm a giant nerd. And I went with AJ, a friend of both of ours that's also a giant nerd. And we went to like the 7 o'clock opening night show. And this is, you know, when we were teenagers before they had midnight shows for everything.
Right.
This is like the first show you could see. And we went to that because we had probably spent the previous 48 hours bored out of our minds. And we looked at each other like 15 minutes in, just like, we don't belong here. Because there were so many things where there would be a line like you know, somebody would just be like,
something about, well, a Bork or something.
No, not even. They would just be like, well, you know me, I never eat chicken. And people would be like, blah, 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 that alludes to something that's already been previously set up.
Right, and that's what I want to be. I want to be that guy who's doing that. If I'm going to go to a movie, I'm going to go whole hog. If I'm going to go into a movie, I want to get the most enjoyment out of it that anybody could possibly get out of it. Otherwise, why? Look, movies are expensive these days, Tom.
Yeah,
I don't
you
know
gotta
if,
make
I
sure you got your
$12.50 to spend.
Your $12 worth.
The price is on the candy and the popcorn, Tom. Mm. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So I sat down. I was like, all right, chronologically, I'm just gonna look all this up on Wikipedia. And Tom, you'd be surprised to know this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all pretty well cataloged on the internet.
Oh, really? I would think Star Trek wouldn't have the kind of fans that spend the time meticulously logging.
So I know what year, so I know like when each movie came out in relation to each TV series. So mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to experience this the way that everybody experienced it who was
right.
a fan of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, probably in a year or so, I'll be ready to watch this movie that's currently in theaters.
Uh-huh.
So I started, and I started with Star Trek: The Original Series streaming mm-hmm. on Netflix. It's like, here it is, Tim. I even like texted people
mm-hmm.
who I thought might be into it. Like, guess what? I'm becoming one of you.
Uh-huh.
And they were like,
becoming a Trekkie.
I didn't say that, so they were very confused. And then I was like, ah.
Just text them, I'm becoming one of you.
Yeah, and then I got a lot of like, what?
Yeah,
huh?
What does that
who
mean?
Is this? You know, the restraining order tells, you know damn well you're not allowed to contact me in any way, Tim.
Right.
Right.
You got in trouble the last time you tried to copy me and emulate me.
Right. Tom, what's going on over there?
I was trying to fix my mic and I smashed it into my face.
Trying to eat your microphone? And so I started it. I was like, Star Trek, the original series. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I got 15 minutes into that thing, mm-hmm. just like you did with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is garbage. This is garbage. Not even this isn't for me. Anybody who likes this is a moron, is what I'm thinking, right? So I'm like, this is what drew people into this franchise?
Mm-hmm.
This, like, I heard all these stories about how brilliant the original series is. It envisions a utopian existence or whatever, right? And you know me, I've been on you're just going to laugh at me, but a big, like, don't be cynical kick, right?
Well, I'm not going to laugh and at I've been you. Told, everybody who listens to this.
I've been told that, oh, you wouldn't like Star Trek because you're cynical.
Mm.
And I took that as a personal insult, as it should
and
be.
And as a challenge.
Right. So I'm going to be...
optimistic about this show.
Right. Exactly. I'm going to put the cynicism in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to... And then 15, 20 minutes of that garbage. And so then I was like, what are people... And where the hell is William Shatner? I thought he was in this.
Uh-huh.
So I look up, again, I type into Wikipedia, Star Trek. It corrected to Star Trek, which is apparently called. And the thing is, the pilot, which is what I was watching, does not feature William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rejected by the network.
Ah.
And it was never aired. And it was unearthed in 1989 or 1988.
Okay, so nobody even, but they put that on Netflix as episode one?
They put that on Netflix as episode one, and yeah, now I know this. I sat through 20 minutes of that and hated it. I can't go in with a fresh perspective now in the actual first episode that people watched. They should have to release things the way that they were original. This should be a law. If it's the, if it were a law, I'd vote for it.
Well, I don't think... You know, the government's time should be taken up making laws about the way things are presented on streaming services.
It's absurd because now, like, I would have watched it. Had I known that came out in 1988, 1989, I would have watched it after watching whatever came first.
Right. Was there even a, was like Captain Kirk in it and just a different guy playing Captain Kirk?
I think so. Nobody said each other's names, I don't think.
That's confusing for a show. Well, it's nice to know you could have been a network executive in the 60s, though. You've got the same frame of mind.
Yeah, this will never do I Love Lucy's numbers.
Right. Well, you'd be a...
We should greenlight The Lucy Show. That boring color version of Lucy being not funny.
I don't know what your deal is with not liking I Love Lucy so much.
What? Who likes that?
It was fun at the time, Tim. It was different. Should binge watch Lucy.
Oh, God.
I binge watched, I guess, season 3 of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Right? What was the most recent one was half of season 4?
Maybe season 5.
Maybe season 5?
Who knows? There's really no way of knowing.
But that was a show that I was a fan of, obviously. And I hadn't necessarily binge watch, but I think it was season 3 or 4. Like the first couple episodes were kind of boring, so I just stopped. And then I binge watched it right before the premiere. But Netflix put out the numbers that like 50,000 people had watched that entire season within the 24 hours before the new season.
Yeah.
That's the way people like to watch things now, Tim.
See, here's the thing. I think that decreases your overall enjoyment of it. I think you become numb to it, and it just kind of becomes this, like, compulsive, like, you're not enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to get through it, and you feel like you've accomplished something when you get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But all you really did was sit there and watch something that somebody else made.
I don't think necessarily you feel like you accomplished something, but I think it's... I don't know. It's more akin to how people read books that they like. If you really like a book, you don't say, well, I'm going to read one chapter one night every week.
But that's how they're produced, is what I'm saying.
Right.
They're produced to be taken in these hour-long or chunks.
Well, it depends, though. I think more and more they're producing these things to not be taken in that way, that they're producing them with the idea of, Well, we, you know, a show like Breaking Bad, they know, well, only so many people watch this on AMC. Most people watch this on Netflix or buy the DVDs or Blu-ray, and they sit down and watch this. So we can plant, we can make something very subtle in this episode and have it not come back for three more episodes. But most people are going to be watching this in bulk. We don't need to make it as obvious so that people remember it a month later in their lives.
Well, that's why I think one of the best binge watching shows came out before the advent of binge watching, and that was The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
I think people like that because they were just like, oh, we'll treat our viewers like they're intelligent, mm-hmm. so we don't have to beat everything. And if you don't remember something from three episodes ago that you watched, mm-hmm. then you're an idiot and don't like the show then.
Right.
And I think people took that model mm-hmm. once they realized, oh, we don't have to be morons. We don't have to play to morons all mm-hmm. the time. And morons will still get it if they binge watch.
Right.
Right? So you're getting everybody.
Right.
You're getting the smart people that are capable of following a story mm-hmm. if they don't watch it all in one 12-hour sitting. And then you get the idiots who have to watch it in one 12-hour sitting.
But a show like Arrested Development, you're going to get so much more enjoyment out of it. I think, well, Mitch Hurwitz is saying don't binge watch these. But, you know, those reoccurring jokes, not necessarily binge watching, just reoccurring watching. I think that's what benefited that show.
Yeah, just watching it multiple times.
Yeah.
And not being a moron and realizing what's going on at points and not
well,
just
having a memory of what you've previously
seen.
Here's
the thing about binge watching, too. The details kind of fall away sometimes. Sometimes you're just worried about the engine, the story moving forward, and the mm-hmm. twists and turns, and you just got to know what happens next, that you got to sit back and be like, hey, the journey is the destination, guys. Like, I know mm-hmm. you're racing, like, you want to know how it all ends up, but that's not how most television's a writer's medium, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just about like, oh, and it's gonna all come together and tie up together well in the end. It's kind of like, no, you're supposed to live in it a little bit. Like, don't be like, oh my god, I have to see. That's what like 24, once mm-hmm. you realize, if you ever binge watch 24,
mm-hmm.
it's the same exact arc in everything. It's like,
and you realize it when you're watching
you
it.
You see the seams. You see yeah. that the last 5 minutes of every hour puts him in like a seemingly impossible to get out of situation. And that is resolved in the first 30 seconds of the next episode.
Yeah.
Because they realize you cared if it aired on Monday nights. Mm-hmm. You cared Monday night at 10:01 when that show ended. You were like, holy shit. Yeah. How is he going to get? And Tuesday, you're like, holy shit. How is he going to get? And Wednesday, you're like, yeah. And then, like, by next Monday, you're like,
you forgot.
Something happened. And then you don't remember till the previously on. You're like, oh, shit. And then they resolve that in 5 seconds.
Uh huh. But you're still happy with it because. Because
you don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
You realize you don't care anymore. And once you're binge watching that and you see that, like, that sine wave or whatever mm-hmm. that it follows, it's just like, you see that peak there and, you know, it's coming down. It's like, oh, I know this. I'll mm-hmm. just hit next and this stupid thing will be resolved in, like, the lamest way. And then it's more running around for 55 minutes before he gets in another trap. Ooh. And
well, did you watch House of Cards?
Some of it.
See, I kind of binge watch House of Cards. Not all at once, but maybe, like, three or four sittings, but like two of those sittings it was like four or five episodes at a time, and as a result I liked it a lot, but I can't remember if somebody was like, what was your favorite episode? Like, oh, I don't really remember
exactly.
And I don't even really remember exactly how everything happened, because I think there wasn't enough time to digest what was. You were just kind of But again, you're kind of living in the moment, Tim. I was living in the moment watching that show.
Yeah, part of me thinks it's stupid for anybody to even be talking about any of this.
Yeah. Well, it's entertainment. It's
like you watch a TV show that you like mm-hmm. when you have time and you feel like watching it.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to, like, just stay inside on a rainy Sunday afternoon and watch 8 episodes of The West Wing,
mm-hmm.
that's fine if you have nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or if you don't, or you got things to do on Sunday, and so you watch it one every day after work for a week.
Right.
That's fine. I just hate that there's all these trend pieces about, like, oh my God, Netflix is putting these all up at once, and that contributes to binge watching. Isn't that crazy? And it's like, no, you just watch shit when you feel like watching it.
Well, Tim, I feel like...
It shouldn't be a thing. Not everything needs to be a meme.
Well, I don't think that's really a meme. But I have to say, I have to point something out here that I think you're just jealous because, all right, so we're recording this on a Saturday. Tomorrow, all these shows come out. Tomorrow's your birthday.
It is.
And you're having a birthday party, so you can't watch all the shows. You can't watch all the episodes. Well, that would be a horrible birthday if you were just sitting there on your iPhone with your headphones in watching.
No, my birthday party is at 3 p.m.
Uh-huh.
These come on.
Where is it? Sarah Bacon come? I guess the episode will probably come out after that.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. It's at No Name Bar in Greenpoint.
Oh, no. Well, you're editing this episode. You can put it out whenever you want.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care if people come
Tim, out. This is going to be like last weekend when Stephen Moffat and Matt Smith from Doctor Who were at a bar maybe three blocks away from me watching Doctor Who, and I didn't know.
What were you doing instead?
I wasn't doing anything. I was thinking about that episode of Doctor Who, and I could have gone and talked to them about it.
Yeah, I bet they were mobbed.
I don't care. Tim, I'm a big guy. I can muscle all those nerds out of there and mob them more.
Spoken a true guy that doesn't realize he's a nerd.
No,
all right, but here's the thing.
So,
everybody
should come down? What should they bring?
No, they come online at 3 a.m. our time.
We think. Well, we don't think. Me and you have talked about that they're going to put these things up early.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway... I have more than enough time to watch 8 hours of content.
Oh, technically, but
if
then you're
going
to...
If I gave a shit about doing that, but I don't.
But then you're going to show up at your own birthday party bleary-eyed?
I'll do that anyway, Tom. I'll do it anyway.
I'm going to watch them all beforehand. I'm going to come and spoil your birthday party. I'm going to give you all the spoilers.
I don't want that to happen at all. works again.
Damn it.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
You know what it's time for?
Yep.
Tim and Tom solve your problems.
No, I said I knew.
Tim and Tom solve your problems. Did you not hear me, Tom?
No, I did. I told you.
If you want us to solve your problem,
mm-hmm.
Email us at thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com.
We haven't done this in a while, I feel like.
No. Or you could go to our website, tcgte.com, and you could submit a question there, right?
Yeah, there's a link, I think.
Yeah.
Contact link.
Yeah. Well, you just email us. Do the other thing. Look.
They might not have an email address.
That's true. This one comes from Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tim and Tom.
Yep.
I'm a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
So don't say anything weird, all right, Tom? And I was recently forced to transfer to my local high school. I went to an all-girls boarding school up until last year, and all my friends from there live at least half an hour away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So I don't have a solid core of friends close to where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I have one good friend at my new school. She kicks it with all the cool kids, but she's kind of protective of her social status,
mm-hmm.
and I feel bad imposing on her circle of friends. I have all my classes with the same 30 people, and I despise most of them. They always trash talk the overweight girl in class, and they're simply not fun.
Mm.
So, I have two questions. One, how do I create my own gang? And two, how do you make friends with guys? Whenever I'm around them, my palms moisten. I am 17. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Zoe.
Is Zoe in the U.S. or the U.K.? Is there any indication?
There's no indication.
Zoe's more... British name, I feel like.
I would think so. The phrase "my palms moisten" makes me think that she's British, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
American girls aren't that
nervous.
Classy.
No, sure.
No, I'd be like, look at sweaty palms all over myself over here.
Like, my palms moisten.
Yeah, some the brash American would be like, I fucking lose my lunch all over my shit over here. Right. When a boy looks at me, I barf in his fucking face.
Wow. All right.
That's what I think of American girls.
American teenage girls.
I shit a brick over here.
So her prompt, well, she mentioned that she's friends with a cool girl. But that's not really her problem, just that, you know, the cool girl needs to keep her distance from the new girl, right? That's a perennial problem.
Yeah, and I like that she doesn't fault the girl
for
that.
Yeah, she gets it. That's the rules of the jungle.
Are the cool kids, the girl hangs out with,
mm-hmm.
are those the same ones that she doesn't like that make fun of the overweight girl?
I mean... I was going to say presumably, but she said she had the same. She has class with the same 30 people. But I don't know. Maybe she's in like a track, you know, like an advanced track or something. She went to a boarding school after all.
Right.
I know they still have boarding schools.
Yeah, they have boarding schools.
It seems like just something you get threatened with. We'll send you to boarding school.
It just seems like something that's in novels.
Yeah, Hardy Boys.
You don't come of age until you go to a boarding school.
Right.
That's where all my coming of age happens.
Yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But she wants to be friends with boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily even kiss them on the mouth, I see.
Right, yeah. She just, it sounds like she thinks the girls stink.
Here's the thing. Zoe seems to be overthinking it, doesn't she?
What do you mean?
She's got all these constructs of rules in her head, like, I understand the politics of all this. Like, there's somebody that I like and likes me, and we're friends.
But it can never
but
be.
But I understand that she can't be. You know what? Break down these barriers, Zoe. Live out loud. It's all you. I don't know. Move.
Move. She can't move. She's a teenager.
Do something really bad and get sent back to boarding school.
Well, maybe she wasn't sent to boarding school because she was bad. Maybe it was a good boarding school.
Yeah, maybe maybe she wants to go back.
Maybe it was very expensive. No, don't give the teacher a hot foot. You'll have Interpol after you, Tim, for even suggesting something like that.
Right.
But she wants to be friends with boys. I don't know. Boys stink, too.
Yeah, boys are the worst.
Yeah, don't be friends with boys.
That's fine. You know what? You're going to find people that you like. Be yourself.
Yeah.
Just don't shake hands if you have clammy palms.
Mm-hmm. Wipe them on your jeans. That's what I do.
Yeah. Wipe them on your jeans.
You can probably wear jeans now. You're not in that stuffy old boarding school anymore.
Exactly. You wear what you want.
Yeah.
Express yourself. Go here. We're missing the obvious. You could dress the way you want.
Mm-hmm.
Throw on a couple different pairs of different colored Converse shoes.
Oh, I was gonna say gloves.
Oh, gloves too. Punky Brewster it. Punky Brewster it. Express yourself through clothing.
Did Punky Brewster wear gloves?
I don't know. If she felt like it.
Yeah.
You put your hair up into a ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just wear the bright colors.
You probably wear like a scarf you can wipe off your hands on.
Yeah. Brewster this thing though. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's necessarily the hands. I think the If it were just about the clammy hands, Tom,
mm-hmm.
Zoe seems smart enough to know just like okay, I think that was indicative
right.
of her further anxieties.
Oh, I see.
Right.
It wasn't like you know, and every time I see them, of course, we all shake hands.
Right.
I'm worried about.
I mean, if that were the case, yeah, gloves or
clammy
just
hands.
Like excuse yourself, or just say I just came from the shitter. I washed my hands. That's what this is. Again, that's based on if you're an American high school girl. That's how American right. high school girls talk.
Yeah, they're always going on about how they just came from the shitter.
And how it's hot as balls in there.
It's hot
as balls in the shitter.
Yeah, it was water. I didn't piss all over my hands.
Yeah.
I
don't know. She seems like self-aware, right?
Yeah. But you think she might be too self-aware.
Yeah. Listen. Just be friends. You know, if you don't like the people, stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall in with the freaks, right? Mm-hmm. We saw that happen to Lindsay Weir on Freaks and Geeks. She felt a little uncomfortable, and she went and hung out with a bunch of potheads.
Uh-huh.
Don't do that just because everybody else sucks.
Yeah.
Don't let them knock you off your... Tom tells me you're in an advanced track in your an accelerated track.
Yeah.
I don't think that you should throw that all away just to hang out with a guy because he looks like has the looks of James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, Tim, I say that to everybody I meet.
Why don't you tell all these cool teens about this podcast you listen to that you like so much?
No, that's a horrible idea. Don't ever mention that. If anybody ever mentions podcast in conversation, be like, I don't even know what that
spit
is.
Spit in their face.
No, don't spit in their face. I mean, that's not going to just be like, oh, I'm
podcast.
Just be like, I've never heard. I'm too busy doing cool things. I'm
playing tetherball. Or whatever the kids are doing.
Well, no, I don't think necessarily telling them you've been too busy playing tetherball. Because tetherball, Tim, is inherently a lonely game to play.
No, you play with two people, Tom.
Yeah, but you can just play it with one.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
The same way you could throw a ball up and down in the air and call it a catch.
You can play tetherball by yourself.
You don't know how tetherball works, Tom.
You can play tetherball because, so the object of the game is to get the ball wrapped around. Tetherball, it's a big pole. There's a ball on a rope, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you don't know how tetherball works.
Tim, I fucking know how tetherball works. I could beat the hell out of you in tetherball.
Maybe, but you don't know how it works.
Tim, I could arrange. I could, like, do a shot that, like, it will get your foot caught up in it and you'll be strung up.
So how do you play tetherball alone?
The same way you play it with a person.
With nobody batting it back the other way?
No, you're batting it against yourself. You're playing like lefty versus righty.
What are you, crazy?
I'm not saying it's a
lonely childhood did you
have? I'm not saying it's a fun game to play, but you can play it against yourself.
Yeah, but that's the same way that you can play football by yourself, by throwing the football in the air and catching it and then pretending like...
No. Because then you're just throwing a football straight up in the air. Tetherball, you can still hit the ball as if there's somebody there.
Would you say tennis is an inherently lonely sport?
You can play tennis up against a wall, though, and
yeah,
it's still doing something.
Exactly. But you're saying that tetherball is an inherently lonely sport. And no, it could be modified to be a lonely sport the same way that tennis
It requires no modification. It requires you doing the same exact thing you would have done.
No,
yeah.
Tom. There's nobody batting it back. That's like playing basketball.
When it comes around.
Is basketball an inherently lonely game because you can shoot without defenders there?
It's a team sport.
Absurd. Tom, ridiculous. You're embarrassing me in front of Zoe. Zoe, do not listen to this man. He does not even know the way that tetherball should be played.
I'm just saying, don't tell me play tetherball because everybody knows that's a lonely sport.
Yeah, either that or just like play a lot of tetherball. That's where all the kids hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we're at odds with our advice. I say play as much tetherball as you can, and the friends will come a-flocking.
And I say don't even mention the word tetherball.
Because you have a skewed
they'll go running for the
idea
hills.
Of what tetherball is.
They'll get a whole picture of what you are. Mm-hmm. Whether it's true or not, there was going to be an image in their head of how they perceive you from that.
Zoe, it seems like you're going to have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you trust more, me or Tom?
Choose your own adventure.
And unfortunately, the stakes could not be higher. Yep. Either you take my advice and you flourish and have a wonderful adolescence there, or you take Tom's advice and downward spiral. I'll probably make you wind up with some kind of lame anecdote when you're finally on Jeopardy.
Alex Trebek might come up to you and say, well, it says here you play tetherball. That must be awfully lonely.
Yeah, and you'd have to go, Trebek, you don't know what you're talking about. You're out of your element.
And he'll throw you right out of there. He has that power.
He does. I've seen him, except for Ken Jennings. See, that was the thing, the dynamic.
Well, Ken Jennings gained too much power.
Yeah, started coming in wearing a leather jacket, Tom. You know what that means.
Yeah.
He's not playing by any rules.
No, rules out the window.
All right, well, that's all the time we have.
If you want to get more of the show, you can go to tcgt.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @CompleteGuide. You can follow me, @TomReynolds.
Follow me @YourPalTim.
You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CompleteGuide. Oh, if you have your own problem to solve, you can email us, CompleteGuideToEverything@gmail.com. And also, Tim... another thing people can do, it's going to become increasingly important, They can go to youtube.com/TCGTE and subscribe. We've got a few videos up there, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot, but a few.
But, Tom, are you implying that there might be more?
Well, I'm implying two things, Tim. Well, I know we've said that there's going to be more coming, I think, for a year now. But there is soon, next couple of months, something cool.
I've never actually said that, Tom, because I didn't even know we had a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So that one's all on you, buddy.
But the other thing is,
if you feel misled as a listener, mm-hmm. it's not on me. That's on Tom.
But the other thing, we're like, I don't know, 60 away, maybe even less from 1,000 subscribers. When we get 1,000, it appears, I can't promise things, but from what I've been hearing, we'll have the ability to live broadcast. Now, we did a live show once via YouTube just because
we couldn't be in the same room.
We couldn't be in the same room, but that was a Google Hangout, which is different. We couldn't just like broadcast. We were in two different places. Basically, you watch a video chat between me and Tim.
Right, and nobody liked it.
No, people liked it. It was fun. But once we get to 1,000, we can just run the live thing whenever. And when we get to 1,000, like if it happens next week, we'll do a live video feed of an episode.
You know, you posted that on the internet, Tom, yeah. Before even consulting me about it.
Yeah. Read your contract.
I'm not.
Read your contract.
I'm not going to put on a shirt for it. And I'm certainly not going to put on pants for it.
Well, now nobody's going to watch.
Yeah, so they should do that. And mm-hmm. there are legitimately fun things that will be happening on that YouTube channel mm-hmm. this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So just prepare yourselves. You think you're excited about Arrested Development? This is going to be 1,000 times
something
more
else than binge watch.
Yeah. Probably take less time.
It'll take a lot less time. So yeah, youtube.com/TCGTE. Fun stuff to come. Subscribe. If you've got a Google account, which come on, you've got a Google account, you can subscribe. You don't even need a special YouTube account anymore.
That's true.
That's it for this week.
I'm really hungry.
Yeah, let's go get some food.
Bye, guys.